to make this somewhat swift, but you would really love to hear this whole thing. And that simply is this. As a result of us sharing and being a part of a word on last week about a prophetic church. What kind of church?
A prophetic church.
On last week, how many know it was because of the bravery, the courage, and the boldness of Sister Carla and Sister Ida and Sister Amy as they was to declare prophetically? How many know that prophetic does not mean future or predictive? Are you with me? Prophetic means to speak forth, or to really what it means is the interpretive counsel of God, meaning that we see things, we may hear things. It could be in art, it could be as relate to a song, it could be lyrics, it could be a vision, it could be a dream, it could be a movie, and something in that movie shows you something that is revelatory and prophetic in the realm of the spirit. Are you with me? And as a direct result of that, we heard them take one after another, working together as a body to bring forth a prophetic message. Are you with me? Not only did we see that, but on that same Sunday, we saw Dr. Thompson come up and declare a word. We thank God that as a result, Sister Tridian shared a word of the Lord, and it was bold. What she didn't mention is that one of our worshipers, Sister Justine, or who I call Binti, a spiritual daughter, she said that earlier that morning, Tridian had sent her a text message, and Binti said it this way. She said, "Shit, my, I don't even know what to do with that lady." It came at the exact minute that she needed to receive it. That's when God is moving upon his people to be prophetic. Are you with me? But I want to talk about something that happened as a result of their yes and their obedience. Their yes and their what?
Obedience.
As a result, Sister Dr. Heather Bowles, who is a phenomenal woman of God, and you might just know her as a wonderful teacher and a senior lecturer and highly intelligent and all of the beautiful things she does as a mother and a wife to Pastor Jeremy. But she had a word that she wrote to the ministry's prayer and altar call team that was prophetic about Ezekiel chapter 37, talking about dry bones. Are you with me? And not only that, the dream, and it actually came from a movie. She began to think about dryness and vegetation. And she said that if you look at that scripture, it says prophesy. God told Ezekiel to prophesy to those dry bones, prophesy to those dry situations. How many of you know that we ought to stop trying to fix stuff and start doing what God says do and prophesying to him? Are you with me? And as a direct result of that, praise be unto God, her boldness and courage was able to get it written down, another form of being prophetic. You can speak it. You can also write it. You may as well know that God wants you to obey with whatever he's putting inside of you. Amen. One of the things I would like you to share with that is there's another young man, Brother Hayden. Brother Hayden, I mean, this guy, obviously many of y'all know him in our body. This guy is a tender giant. Are you with me? I mean, you know, if he... Soon as you see him, I mean, once you see his smile, you're going to know how soft and cuddly he is. Are you with me? But he can be, his stature is so large, but has also a vast heart. But deep down on the inside of him, he moves prophetically. How many of you know it's always the ones you couldn't know? Always the ones you wouldn't detect, but he moves in a gifting when you listen to Sister Carla talk about the Spirit of God on the inside of him. And some months ago, he shared a message, and it looked like, because the scripture says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect comes, then we will know even as we are known. Are you with me? The point of matter is that he shared a word with me, working with Sister Ida and maybe a couple of others. And he shared a word, something like this with me. He said, "Pastor, I don't know what it is that's coming. I don't know what's going on or what's coming. But whatever it is, it's going to be too large for the church. Too large for the church to deal with or to do on its own." Are you with me? How many understand that you may listen to that and you may think, okay, you know, it's going to be too large. Little did you understand that that was right before COVID. That message and word came right before COVID. And as a direct result, how many understand that it has required agencies, organizations, governments, nations, scientists, companies, and researchers and churches all over the globe in order to work through what this particular planet and globe is dealing with? Are you with me? That message he might have thought was for BCC, but it was bigger than BCC. It was bigger than the Big C Church. It was so big that that was a word and a vision that God had showed him that was going to have to deal with the whole world. Somebody say amen. Well, I want you to know this past week, I want you to hear this. This past week, we had an opportunity to be a part of something very dynamic and just like that. Someone we know and who is very much a part of our lives, they literally were supposed to be evicted from their apartment this week. They were supposed to be evicted, and they were getting ready and very anxious and so anxious about it. They were supposed to be out by 9 a.m., I think it was, on that particular day. They had done everything they possibly could to get ready. They had ran out of trucks, and they didn't have storage, and they were just boxing things up. And this is while the storm had all the power outage. So they were trying to box stuff up while they was in the power outage. Are you with me? And as a direct result of the collaboration of federal agencies, city people, other organizations, another church in town, our ministry, and several other things came together. And before, even though the sheriff should have been there at 9 a.m., on that same morning, she was able to get talked to. We were able to communicate with the landlord. All those things took place. This is about God's mercy. Stepped in, divided out, and she's still in her apartment because she did not have to be evicted. Come on and give the Lord a big praise. Listen, for those that are looking for things to become from flesh, from spirit to flesh, that's a literal translation of the mercy of God stepping in and putting his hand on something and preventing something from happening. Somebody say amen. Say that's what God is doing. Glory to God. Well, I want us to share today as we keep going further in what we've been doing. What I want to do is take these few moments to talk about save the world. Save the what? World. This is number six. Save the world, number six. Save the world, number six. Amen? I want you to read the scripture out loud with me, if you will. I'll read it. You listen. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. I would like to do this particular verse as it relates to today's text and title are out of these particular three verses. For it is God who works in you to will and to act on behalf of his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine as lights in the world. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. I want you to recognize that all I had to do is to come in the house, or Anna Maria came through the hallway, and or I came to the bedroom, and I showed her a jar like this, and I held it up just like this, and I said, what's the first thing you think? Now, you tell me, what's the first thing you think when I hold up a jar like this? You're hungry. Wow. Let's just go ahead and give you the answer, if you don't mind, today. I want you to know that we have a particular message that we want to share today in the midst of Save the World, a message called A Lightning Bug Treasure Hunt. A Lightning Bug Treasure Hunt. Say that with me. A Lightning Bug Treasure Hunt. Everybody said amen. So as we're in the midst of this particular message called Save the World, we want to deal with this subject of a lightning bug treasure hunt. We are very thankful and grateful that the young adults have come back and invaded Ames. And you can tell by how long you stay at a traffic light. I can't get any help up in here. Amen. I remember we used to go through Walmart or whatever. You just go pick it up and go through the line. Those days have come and gone. Are you with me? But look at this particular picture, if you will, because it speaks the whole entire message, even if I'm not able to get through every scripture and verse. I want you to see this image of what we see in this lightning bug treasure hunt. We see at the bottom these lightning bugs, and as it were, this young lady with the stick, and it could be a lamb, but I like to think that that might be like a mason jar, and she's caught. And she's been on a treasure hunt, and she's caught some lightning bugs, and they're on the inside. Because how many of you know, when you were little, if no one else in our sphere can understand this, it might have been canning, it might have been a bank to save some money. But no matter how old you are, all of us have the type of innocence. At some place and in some day and season of our lives, we used to, how many of y'all used to search for lightning bugs? Amen. Amen? Are you, come on now, I don't care what city. Listen. I want you to know that lightning bug searching is a childhood's all-out dream. You know, I used to do it when I was at my grandmother's house, grandmother's and grandfather's house. And I'm telling you, if there was the night to catch lightning bugs, it was on. I don't care if I had to be called in with gun smoke or not. I made sure that we were going to catch some lightning bugs. But as a direct result of this young lady, notice that she's in this background of it being dark, and just above her is the stars that are shining as well. Does everybody see that? Amen. Today we like to deal with a lightning bug treasure hunt. I want to read this first to catch us up. Please listen. Let us reflect, remember, and recognize this. We reflect that God the Father sent his son Jesus here not to judge the world, but to save the world. We remember that as Jesus is, so are we in this world. And as we have received salvation, so we freely give. We recognize with seriousness, and I can't take extra time on it, I'll just read this, but more and more people have been saying this. It's been on news. It's in newspapers. I mean, it's more and more where the seriousness of people experiencing existential crisis, the existential cries of lives, and the existential Christ us, or that is to say, Christ in a crisis. And that Jesus Christ is defined in the Greek by Scripture as being one of a kind. As being what? One of a kind. Likewise, we recognize when we are to save the world through him is now. Why? Is because there are 13 hows, and there is a list on those notes when you click and see them. But we are to save the world when? Now. So now we want to show today who is supposed to save the world. And why are you here on earth? Or why are you still here on earth? And what are you supposed to be doing? And how are you supposed to know what you are doing in it? You see, as ISU advertises, you choose your adventure. Is that right, doctor? You choose your adventure. Yet there are still so many needs to know how to choose rightly. I think it's a great campaign, but how many know there are so many things you need to learn on what to do and to choose before you can choose your adventure? Is anybody with me? I like to say, therefore, a lightning bug treasure hunt is our BCC innovative adventure to inspire who are the people with purpose and how will you know what to do? Listen at this. We have come to know that there are young adults like Cameron and Anna who are hungry like Joanne and like Mason, who know how or want to know their purpose, and middle age and growing in maturity that are seeking what to do in their new stage. To top it off, now with recent storms of damage and discouragement is now become the norm, the hopes of a new decade seems to be decade. What are we supposed to do with a hoax for some and a horror of reality pandemic for others? The systemic oppressed are pressed into unrest, and U.S. Christians, love or liberty, are torn over the task of wearing or not wearing a face mask while the enemy has masked us to fuss, and we face the earth without form and void, and darkness is over the face of the deep. Wait, I have read that somewhere in the beginning. You see, the answer is what we need is purpose and light to rescue our world. Make things better. Change what you can. Be transformed and save the world. Is anybody with me? So therefore, let us do this. Let's visit in the beginning the backstory that reveals we were created with a given purpose. Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read those scriptures pretty quickly, so if you could go there quickly, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 26. This is the backstory of why I've been communicating like on last week. Please hear me as you get that ready. Then lift up your eyes and let me try to share this with you to make sense. Is that before we had need of salvation, God had already created us to have purpose. God created humankind in Adam with purpose prior to what we deem as being the most important thing in life, that being of salvation. But we were created by God with our created purpose prior to ever having need of a Savior. How do we know this? It's because of the scriptures we will share in order for us to see scripturally which order of how things occurred. Because God created Adam in perfection, placed him in perfection, and there was flawless. He was impaired, untainted, not jaded, had known no wrong. And in that state, he was given purpose to fulfill. Before Genesis chapter 3, where there's the fall of humankind, and where then there was the announcement of Jesus who was going to come into the earth. Therefore, we had purpose before we ever had a problem of having need of a Savior. Is everybody with me? This is why this is so important, is because it does not matter what country you're in, what culture you come from, it doesn't matter what your national religion is in that country, that side of the globe. It doesn't matter if you're here and you say you're agnostic, atheist, don't believe, don't know if I believe. Does not matter. How many know that you will always find people all over the planet, no matter who you are, they've got to answer this question, why am I here? Why was I created? Why do I even exist? You see, that question is all over the world because it comes first when we start thinking about what does my life mean? Somebody say amen. And I have reason to believe, not only online, but those that's in the room, and I hope I haven't lost anybody or bored anybody yet, but the issue is, how many of you know that deep down in your own life is the question that you're in the midst of dealing with? And how many of you know sometimes some people, if we want to be honest, and I know it's true, we've seen this through the ministry at, you know, the schools that our children have gone to and different things like that, that there are sometimes, and especially in the generations now, that they toil and toss like this is an option. And Anna, Tiana had to teach me this from one of her students in classes or mentors, that the reason some young people are choosing what we consider to be suicide and people dealing with suicidal thoughts is because it's not the answer of I want to be dead, I just don't want to live. You see, that's a very real subject, a very real issue. So the question is, how can we be able to be used by God to save the world as it relates to purpose? As it relates to what? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says this. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our own likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And do what? I could pick out lots of the things, but I just want you to see this one. Notice that that is purpose. God gives them this assignment in their creative coming into existence and being, is one of the things that they had a purpose was to subdue it. Was to do what? Subdue it and have dominion. Say dominion. Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. I want to say this now just because I don't want to forget this. I want you to know that even right there, in every time we see the word God there, God said, let us create man in our image. Are you hearing me? Do you realize that the word God there, Elohim, I may not be saying that right in the Hebrew, but Elohim, even the word Elohim right there is the word that is plural, that means God. So in other words, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit collaborated together in one and said, let us make human being in our image. Are you with me? So therefore, turn over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. I hope I'm not going too fast for you. I would recommend you watch the YouTube. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man, into man's nostrils, and man became a living person or a living being. Verse 8. Then the Lord God planted a garden in the Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had made. The Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everybody see that? Now look at verse 15. I want you to really cue in on verse 15, because here we certainly have to define purpose. Verse 15 says this. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to, watch this, the Hebrew word there means cultivate. Now, no matter what your translations are, a lot of English translations use the word cultivate, but in the New King James, it says to tend and keep it. Now, we could have lots of more definitions and define and elaborate on those words, but just for the sake of those four things, that is God assigning purpose to Adam, to the first very one that was created, who God formed and touched himself. He doesn't touch any other parts of creation, but he touches human beings and he breathes into him the breath of life and he becomes a human being. I want you to know something. Notice the purpose was given. He was to subdue the earth. He was supposed to cultivate the earth. He was supposed to tend the earth, and he was supposed to keep it. Are you with me? God gave Adam purpose. He gave him what? Get this. He gave him purpose before he was married. Got four people to say amen. Thank you so many of people out there online. Amen. Here is the issue. How many understand that too often in societal findings, or maybe what we think about and what our flesh may lead us to, is that we are out looking for a date before we're looking out for God's presence to reveal to us our purpose? We need a purpose of what God has put inside of us to come forth before we start looking to be with somebody. Glory to Jesus. It's quiet up in the second service. Amen. Got the dating people up in this service, I guess. Amen. Jump over now to Genesis chapter 3, and I want to show you verse 15. And I want to say this before we read this. I'll read what the scholar put. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, this is across all denominations. Doesn't matter if you're Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal. This is across the line teaching, all right? Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, look at this. And I will put enmity. This is God speaking to the spirit behind the serpent. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Somebody say amen. This is the prophetic announcement that Jesus Christ was going to defeat the devil, and therefore, because Jesus defeated the devil, we now, because Jesus did it for us, we get the victory because of what Jesus did. In other words, when it spoke about his heel, that was a symbol that Jesus' heel would crush the devil's head, and he would be destroyed, and now we get to live in being more than conquerors. We get to live in being overcomers. We get to live in all of the benefits of salvation because of what Jesus had accomplished. Glory to God. This is how the scholar put it. Many consider this verse the first announcement of the gospel. This is the first prophecy about the Messiah, Christ, who through his death, burial on his death on the cross, and burial and resurrection would ultimately defeat Satan, the power behind the serpent, by giving a death blow. Somebody say amen. Amen. Glory to God. Do we understand that right there in Genesis 3, we've got the prophecy of Jesus? And Jesus' prophecy that he would come into the world to save comes after Genesis chapter 2, where we have been already given and assigned our divine purpose. Hallelujah. Praise God. I think y'all should not have eaten those waffles. Amen. So, now turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. For the sake of reading the scriptures, and we'll only do with just a couple of the notes, because we want to make sure that we understand how do we get... Father, I pray that you would give us a spirit of liberty, that God is what you say and not what I say or do. So Christ, I pray, as your Holy Spirit would descend like the dew upon the mount, we ask that your Spirit would descend upon the hearts. Spring up, O well, rise up, rivers of living water, and do the great work that is needful in the house and in the hearts of your people. It's all about you, Jesus. Awaken us and give us ears to hear what your Spirit says to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read this from the New King James Version. And for the sake of knowing that Paul writes to Timothy and said it's the reading of the word that ministers, I'm going to go ahead and read from verses 1 to 15 and only pull out a couple of these points of why we're talking about a lightning bug treasure hunt. It says here, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I want you to catch verses 12 to 15. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out of your own salvation with fear and trembling. Make sure you look at the notes, which will be online. It's a good point in there about that. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, or it says arguing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. In whom you do what? Shine as lights in the world. And everybody said amen. Amen. I just have a few minutes, and so I want to take and pull out just a couple of points. Can I get you to look at the first verse? Look at the first verse for a moment. In the first verse, it has these four points. And to be honest with you, I've never stopped long enough to really understand or to reflect upon them until this particular season. It says consolation in Christ. It says comfort of love. And then it says this, fellowship of the Spirit. And then it says affection and mercy. And everybody said amen. Do you see number three where it says fellowship of the Spirit or fellowship of the Holy Spirit? I want you to know, without going too far and too deep into it, I want to be honest that I had never even really read or slowed down. How many know scripture will always reveal something to you? Because we live by the word. We live by the what? Listen, we don't live by our feelings. Let me say it over here. We don't live by traditions. Guess what? We don't live by what grandma, mama, and them said. We've got to live by the word. And as a direct result of this scripture, it says, and Paul says this in a rhetorical fashion. If any of you all have ever had or experienced fellowship of the Spirit, say fellowship of the Spirit. You know, I think this is very interesting because one of the things I didn't realize is that, oh my God, how many know anyone that you have fellowship with, you not only become like them, but you are so strong in relationship with them that you don't mind asking anything of them. And as a result of not minding asking anything of them, if you've got fellowship with the Holy Spirit, then you don't mind asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to you things that you do not know. And as a result of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, how many know the more you hang out with someone, the more you get to know them, the more you will hear his voice and know it's them. I mean, when you really know somebody, they can have on a mask and they'll still know that's you. I'm saying to you that the Holy Spirit and having fellowship with the Holy Spirit is the one that you want to be close to, that you want to know, you want to spend more time instead of Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat. Maybe you ought to do that with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the better you know him, he will show you something that no other person can reply. Glory to God. Can I get you to jump down to verse number 13. Please jump down to verse number 13. I want to read to you what it says in verse 13 because I want you to catch this. How to discover your purpose. How to discover your purpose. You see, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says this. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Would you read that with me? For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You see, when we break those things down, please hear me. This is what the message is about. Get this. If the word of God says this, then we've got to believe it. Look at it. God who works. Who works? God. Say it again. God who what? So if it's God that's doing the work, then that's not us. I'm going to say that again. It's God who works. And where is he at? He is in you. It's God who works where? In you. Both to will and to do. Both to will and to. Why is this so important about purpose? I've held on to this particular verse for a very long time before I've been able to share it. I just think it's the right season. It's the right cue to do so. It is simply this. That the scripture says it is both God to will and to do. Say purpose. You see, so many of us are seeking and searching, running here and there, asking people to go over here and calling over to this particular prayer line and making sure you get to do this all right and striving and being mad at people for getting to something first, or somebody else got the internship and you didn't, or somebody got the promotion, or you wanted to get that particular loan. Listen. All of those things are not more valuable than what God wants you to know where your purpose was all along. Your purpose has been already on the inside of you all along. Why? Because the scripture says, for it is both God in you, both to will. The word will means to want. Whatever you have been desiring and wanting the whole entire time was a cue of what you were supposed to discover about your purpose. You see, you've been looking everywhere else and God was already, because anybody that is in Christ, that means you're already in the purpose. And when you get in the purpose, Christ has already created you with your original purpose. So now he's in you, revealing to you what is your will that you have wanted to become the whole entire time of your life. You know, this is the type of thing that starts out when you was a little bitty child. This starts out when you as a teenager and that particular teacher starts showing you all kinds of things and bringing out your gifts and talents. This is the type of thing that when you were growing up, you had a dream or something that was bigger than who you were. I know I keep saying it because it means so much to me. I only discovered it in the past few years, about the past 10 years that I say to you. I tell you, I was 9 years old when I was supposed to be playing with balls and trucks. And I had this heart at 9 to say, when I grow up, I want to show white people that black people are good. That was in my heart at 9. Why is that? There must have been something going on in life that made me see there's something that's a disparity that I want to be a part of resolving. I want to be part of fixing. I want to be part of contributing that the world would change as a direct result of one little boy that grew up in St. Louis. He may not have known much, but there was something that was inside of me that wanted to do something to help our world. And now there's something inside of you that's been there all along, of what is a purpose that God wants to fulfill in you and through you. Glory to God. What about that dream you had? You know, me and Anna Maria was at this particular, we were at the farmer's market on yesterday, and we came across this little bitty booth, of a small little story I want to tell you about a young lady, that here she was, and her story was this, that she was supposed to be on an internship this summer. But how many know the internship got canceled? You know anybody like that? Where something that you were supposed to do, that now it got canceled because of the existential crisis that's on the outside. And how many know many of us could feel negative about that? Many of us could be downtrodden about that. Many of us could be depressed, down, upset, bad, disgusted, busted. But as a direct result, but when you are knowing your purpose and what God has created for you, young lady belongs to another Christian ministry in town. And here it is. She said, you know what? I'm going to make something of the opportunity. And she made her own business. And she started using her gifts, and she started using the thing that God put in her. Why? Because I tell us all the time, there is nothing, I say nothing, that God cannot do with you, because it's not based on your IQ. It's not based on your ATC scores. It's not based on how smart you are. It's not based on how high up in the class you graduated, because whatever God has purposed and created divinely for you to become, it's based on what He says about you and not what the world says about you. Glory to God. Amen. And there she was making this her own little earrings and things that she has. And even yesterday was one of the highest sales that she had. She said, in essence, she made her own internship. How many know if you can't let the world tell you what to do, you've got to be able to have something inside of you and live by the grace of God so that you would begin to fulfill what God has put on the inside of you. I'm not sure why it's so quiet in this Presbyterian church today. Glory to God. Say purpose. Peter, if you come, please. The issue is, it's both to will and to do. You know, I talk about how you can know in part, you can prophesy in part, but how many know you can see it dimly through a glass? Yeah, sure, when I came to Iowa State, I majored in psychology. That's because I didn't know what God's purpose was, but I saw something on the inside. And how many know it's something on the inside of you of what you're trying to work out right now? But this is the part you've got to see. It's not based on what you do. You see, some of us have so many dreams and visions that you're limited because you keep measuring what you can do. But the scripture doesn't say it's based on you doing it. The Bible says it's based on God doing it. It's based on His will, and it's His doing. He's been wanting to do it all along, and He will do it by His power and not by our limited power. Glory to Jesus. But here's what you've got to see. It's not based on what is your purpose. It's for His good purpose and pleasure. It's for His good what? Purpose and pleasure. You see, your purpose and your divine destiny is directly linked to what God has already done in you, what God is doing through you, and what God wants to fulfill for you. So I understand this whispering question you have. How does this relate to a lightning bug? Are you with me? I want to share with you that as a result of me going out on a treasure hunt to find some lightning bugs on last night, I learned some things last night. Are you with me? I'd like to share with you my observations about lightning bugs. There's many. You can look them up, but I want to tell you about three. Number one, get this. How many of you know lightning bugs? They come on and they go off. They come on, they go off. How many of you know that's iffy? How many of you know that's on sometime and that's what? Off sometime. And doesn't that speak sometimes like us? We are on sometimes and we're off sometimes. If I ain't feeling it, how many know I'm off today? But sometimes I'm on and sometimes I'm off. All I'm trying to say is that lightning bugs, as brilliant and wonderfully as designed they are, they're on sometimes and they're what? Off sometimes. Next thing I want you to know about lightning bugs is lightning bugs, they light in a sequence, and some lightning bugs have a design where they can mimic other lightning bugs, but it's for the purpose of luring the other bug so they can kill them. Are you with me? In other words, some lights can come like an angel of light, like a deceiver. Did you catch that? And number three, there's something else about lightning bugs. They were never designed to be in jars. They were never designed to be in bondage. Oh, let me draw on your heart. They were never designed to be locked up. They were never designed to be caught. I want you to know that these lightning bugs, for as long as I've had them, over about 15 hours right now, for as long as we've had them, I haven't seen it. Maybe Anna has. I have not seen them light up since they've been in this jar. Because when you're in bondage and when you're in captivity and when you're on lockdown and locked up, you can't even let your light shine because something has you bound. You may have been created to have light, but if you're locked, if you don't have the freedom, you don't even feel like yourself. You can't even be yourself. You can't even let your gifts explode. So let me tell you. In verse 15, it says, "For they should shine as lights in this world." Somebody say amen. In other words, they're supposed to shine in the light of this world. The actual translation is that they are luminaries. They're supposed to be stars. They're supposed to be in the darkness, but they keep on shining. They're not on and off. They're supposed to be lights that's in the celestials. They are illuminations. And that's what Daniel chapter 12 verses 2-3 says, that they're supposed to awake and they would shine forever. They would turn on lives and they would shine forevermore. And that's the people of God. We who have purpose, we're supposed to shine in a dark and crooked world. I know it's dark out there. My God, can't we just take enough? And then the storm comes and power outages. But that's all right. The people of God, we've got a greater light shining down on the inside of us. It's the hope of glory. Jesus Christ, He's the power we need. He's the one that's given us a purpose, and He is the one that will fulfill saving the world when you illuminate your purpose in the earth. Glory to God.